Welcome to Girls in Heels, a weekly podcast covering everything from the week that women are talking about. I'm your host, Cooper Lawrence. I'd like to introduce my co-host, Teresa Aprea.
Hello, Cooper.
And Nicole Napolitano.
Sounds good.
How'd I do? Like an Italian person.
Sounds great.
People might know you from The Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Yes.
Absolutely. That's us.
They treat you nicely at Bravo?
Yeah, Bravo's great. Bravo, NBC, awesome.
I did a reality show for VH1.
Oh, cool. Which one?
It was called Confessions of a Teen Idol.
Oh, like it.
With Scott Baio.
He grew up in Dyker Heights.
Yeah, right, he did.
Yep.
I love, that was like my teenage heartthrob crush.
And I met him later on.
Oh, love him, right? Loveliest.
Love him.
Oh,
actually,
my God.
Actually, even though we grew up only a couple of blocks away from each other, I had met him when I was out in LA years ago.
He's the skinniest guy with the biggest head I've ever seen in my life. Like, you know when they say that people on television have big, giant heads? He has one of those, like, skinny body, big, giant. He's adorable, but he's big, giant head.
Yeah.
Happy days. Actually, not even teenager. I think it was, like, even younger than that. That was, like, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old's crush. Like, when, like,
yeah, so
Tiger
he was on the
B
Love Boat.
Or, yeah.
With Chrissy McNichols. Shaboom,
yes,
shaboom.
Yeah.
That's right.
Listen, he grew up, like, two blocks. Always had the biggest crush on him. Meet him in L.A., go back to his house to hang out, and my best friend winds up sleeping with him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
of course.
Because I wouldn't, but
that was his M.O.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Do you think even kids, Cooper, my question is, do you think they almost want to learn or do they want to change? I think sometimes this generation is just enjoying making all the wrong decisions. And not to generalize, but they're almost enjoying it.
Well, it's the generation of instant gratification.
And Nicole and I, we kind of differ with certain parenting things.
Like what? Like how do you guys differ? Like, Nicole, what's your parenting style that's different?
Teresa right away is if
a very
child,
black and white.
You're very black and white. And I respect that. But at the same time, I think you have to listen to kids. And Teresa feels if they make a mistake.
Oh, I do.
It's punishment.
I don't think, I think there are consequences.
Take everything away and major consequences, time out. And I feel that I have two teenage boys and they're popular and they're around a lot of kids. And I feel that I want them to always have an open relationship, open communication. And if right away I'm going to scold them and punish and consequences, I know that there are consequences. But at the same time, I need to listen.
You're afraid they're going to stop talking to you.
They're going
to
stop talking.
All right.
And they're going to be scared. The first thing they say is, Mom, or if they tell me I tried this or I did this or I did have a drink, you're punished. Give me your cell phone. Get in your room. You're not going out next weekend. The next time, they're not going to open up and tell me. I'd rather have that open communication with my children.
And I'm all for open communication. And I relate very well to teenagers. Very, very well. I just feel as though if there's never a consequence, how are they ever going to learn? In life, we had consequences growing up. There has to be some sort of, anyone who knows me, I have the best relationship with my kid and teenagers with my nephews, but they do know that I take no shit. They do know that if there has to be, there's love. I'm Miss Lovey. Teresa's all about love. I embrace these kids. I nurture them. I coddle them. But then there has to be some sort of fear, I believe, where no is no. Where, okay, so what are you going to do? So one time you catch your teenager smoking, you know, weed. Okay, great. And then another time. And then another time. Then another time. And then before you know it, you're a certain teenager, maybe it could be your teenager, may feel as though, oh, you know what? My mom totally gets it, and she's okay because she wants me to talk to her. So basically, you have a pot-smoking kid then. You have a pot-smoking kid, but then it's okay because then you're going to have a pot-smoking kid.
No, because it's not going to happen every week. Oh, Mom, I try pot.
Okay,
Anthony. No, that's I shouldn't say names. Basically, Teresa, every child is different, so you have to parent each child differently.
Absolutely.
I have a 15-year-old and I have a 17-year-old. I have my Joey. I have my Anthony. They are two different personalities. I have the physical one. I have the cerebral one. They are two different children. I have to parent them both differently.
I get that. And I think every parent out there, every adult out there, I get it. You have to. Every kid is an individual. They're all individuals.
And
they're
you
all
know
very
your
different
child.
Personalities. You know your kid. But then how do you, then it goes, this could go on, so we'll
no,
end this
really,
in a bit.
No, I think it's
but I'm just feeling as though, okay, fine, that's great. Everyone is an individual. Every single kid is an individual. Every adult. But, and we're molding them. We're helping them grow to be strong individuals that can make the right choices, but they have to understand too, not everything. And I guess, and I am pretty liberal with certain things, and there's certain things I'm very conservative about. There's certain things where, so is that going to be your answer? Okay, well, I'm going to talk to my kid.
No, not at all. I communicate and I talk to them. And getting back to social media, I do check my children's friends' social media and their Twitter accounts.
Teresa, do you not do that?
Oh, I do.
You do
and
too.
And I just actually spoke with some of my son's friends. And, oh, mom, stalker, that's the word. You're a stalker. No, I'm not a stalker. I'm a mother. And I told him, listen, birds of a feather flock together. If this is how you look, reputation means a lot to me. If I am opening up my home to you, if you are coming in my home, you're going to act a certain way. And if you're staying with my son, then you're going to have to act a certain way and not put on social media certain things or
like, oh, I'm getting stoned this weekend with the family, Thanksgiving, I'm going to sit on a couch. I mean, if I read something like that that a teenager puts, that drives me insane.
Because where's the parent?
Where's the parent? That's a child.
As well as I.
It's not that the kids aren't doing it. It's broadcasting it.
It's broadcasting.
Right.
And my thing is, good kids make bad choices.
Of course, all the time.
We did. It doesn't make them bad kids. I think it's very challenging to be a teenager.
Wait,
today.
So once it's legal, will you have a different opinion?
You know what?
You said woo woo on Watch What Happens Live.
And I did. And I want to tell you, and I did. And I was on Watch What Happens Live. And when he did say that, I happened to have drank a lot of. Yes, that was the night when I was on Andy Cohen, Watch What Happens Live. He's like, legalize pot. And everyone was in the audience and everyone was clapping.
Well, just because you're happy for it doesn't mean that you're happy. You want your 14 and 15-year-old to do it.
But I have to say, you know what I say? You know, what's the old expression? You know, do what I say, don't do what I do. What's that old expression?
Right, that's exactly
it. It's like, I don't give a the bottom line is, you are a child. Children are children, we're adults. You know what? We can do whatever we want.
Whatever the laws are,
the laws are. And you know what? When they have children, guess what? When they're parents, they could do whatever they want. But children are children are children.
Can I tell you what an idiot I am? Okay, so I'm out on Long Island visiting my best friend. It's her birthday. And I don't know a lot of her Long Island friends. So I go out there, I meet them, we're all hanging out at the house, whatever, like, hi, nice to meet you. We're going to go out for sushi. That's our big plan, right? So we're in a minivan. It couldn't be any more cliche than that. So I'm out there, and every one of them is a mom. Everyone has at least one kid, if not two, three. One girl had like almost five kids. Okay.
Oh,
so I'm there with like, it's six of us girls in a minivan.
I never gave into a minivan.
Oh, okay.
Good for you.
So we pull up in front of the restaurant, right. Okay? And instead of pulling up right in front of the restaurant where the spot is, they pull up a little bit further. And I'm like, why can't we just walk right into the restaurant? What are they doing? And they turn off the engine. They turn on some music. And they all, every one of them takes out like... a bowl or some sort of little like smoke. It's like a smoky thing, a smokeless joint thing. And one girl whips out a bag, and they all start passing around this bag of marijuana, and they're all packing whatever it is they brought to smoke in. And
oh
I don't
gosh.
Smoke,
yeah,
so
I
didn't want to be there with the secondhand smoke and all this stuff because, you know, I'm so crazy. I was like, I'm going to get secondhand high and I'm going to be in the hospital.
Exactly.
So I get out. I'm like, you guys, you know, enjoy your smoking. I'm just going to go get some fresh air. So I go out. It's freezing cold, by the way. I just want to be in a van with like five smoking mothers, right?
Smell like weed.
So I leave the van and I go and I call my boyfriend. He's like, I thought you were out to dinner. I said, I thought I was going to be out for dinner too. I said, but I'm standing in the middle of Rockville Center in front of a minivan watching five mothers. Get stoned before they go eat sushi because life is just too stressful.
Too stressful.
They're gonna order a lot of sushi.
A lot of sushi. Those women could pack it away.
They're gonna be eating a lot more than you.
It was crazy. And afterwards, they're like, "Let's go get ice cream." It was crazy.
Lots of mushy. Lots of mushy.
But apparently that's, and I said to my girlfriend, I was like, does this happen all the time? She's like, when we get together, you know, our lives are so stressful and it's just nice to have a night to feel like girls again, to feel like we're like high school girls smoking pot in a minivan.
We just so
always have fun. Like, you do know Reno since you were 17, 18.
I do know Reno since, actually, yes.
Cooper, we would go out to clubs in the city, and like he was saying, everything revolves around food. We would get back from the clubs at like 2 in the morning, open up the restaurant, and all just start cooking together.
Really?
We would just hang out.
Then we'd go to Angelo's together. About 2:30, 3 in the morning.
But the fun thing was,
probably about 2:30.
The cutest thing was, is that my family, and I wish we would have brought the picture today to show Cooper, from when we were very young, we used to go to Angelo's, from when we were only a few years
every
old.
Every Saturday night.
We used to go every week, every other week to Angelo's to eat. And then finally, one day, it was Mother's Day, I think we were around 17 years old, and that's the first time we ever saw Reno there. And that's when he put a lobster bib. We all ordered lobster, and he just zoomed right into Teresa. And everyone said, "How come he didn't put the bib on you? You're identical. You look so much alike."
That's the question you should have asked.
And he was just gravitated. So there is my question. What is it that made you, that we were both sitting there, and Teresa was more of the bitchy one, wouldn't say anything, and I was always the sweet one laughing. So what is it that you gravitated towards Teresa and not me? Why did you put the bib on her and not Nicole?
Unfortunately, because I went to culinary school and you learn everything, even, you know, table manners. Mm-hmm. And Teresa was closer to me and table manners didn't permit me to lean over the table. Oh. So actually, I should get a do-over.
You could have had the night. No, she's not the nicer twin.
So really, the answer to the question, Cooper, was that Teresa was on the outside of the table and Nicole was sitting in the back of the table. So that really was it.
So that was your destiny then. You chose me because I was closer?
Listen, it's just like when the Rangers won the Stanley Cup. But that lasts me a lifetime.
So funny.
But all joking aside, I mean, Teresa was always I always was attracted to this because it's a really great question, because after you take the fun out of it, it goes to show that there's true love and there's true chemistry, because there was never that attraction for Nicole.
Nicole, do you not want to get married?
One day I do want to get married again. I think marriage is just like one of the best things in the world. So I do. I definitely do. It's funny. That's another thing. We were so different, Teresa. When Teresa and Reno got divorced, she never wanted to get married again. Never.
I liked being single.
Loves being single. Loves being on her own. And I think...
Loves being with my
girlfriends. Well, you were 27, right? You were young.
28 to 39.
39. And she
even
had
in my 30s.
No,
I enjoyed my 30s. I traveled.
No desire.
I enjoyed my girlfriends, my guy friends.
I feel good I got that stuff out of the way. Like, I think about my friends that got married young. Like my pot-smoking friend I told you about earlier. I mean, she got married really young. A couple of my friends. Like,
that's why she's smoking weed.
I guess maybe that's why. A lot of my friends like literally went from their parents' house to their husband's house.
That's what I did.
Really?
Yes.
See, I feel really happy that I didn't do that, and I got all that stuff out of my system because now that I'm in my
40s. Then you were a slut. No.
Yeah. A little like somebody might, you know. Certainly, my Catholic friends would have said so, for sure. Your mother would definitely say yes. For me, I think it's really hard to be a woman in your 40s without experiencing what your 20s were supposed to be like, what your 30s were supposed to be like.
Absolutely.
You know, and then there's other women that the opposite. They feel like they avoided all that stuff by being in a good, healthy marriage for all those years. They didn't have to go out and... I mean, granted, when I was dating, there was no like internet dating. Like, you actually went out and met people face to face.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Heaven forbid.
I do though. But I know a lot of my friends who are divorced now. They're very cynical and they have no desire getting married again.
Why? Like, what are they cynical about? Marriage? Men?
Marriage? Men?
Oh,
they sound bitter. A lot of them. And I tell them, please. And when I work with, I'm like, stop sounding so bitter. Stop sounding
right.
So
keep
angry.
The flow of energy.
Keep the flow.
Going.
Like, just love. Live to love.
I've been married and I've been divorced and I'm in a relationship now with my boyfriend who,
yes,
our joke is that, oh yeah, you know Joe, of course. Yes. Our joke is that if he gets down and proposes, it means the relationship's over.
No.
Like, if I see him drop to one knee, I'm going to be like, what did I do? What? Because he knows I do not want to get married.
Okay.
And he never wanted to be married, so he's never been married. Only I'm the only idiot between us who actually, like, not idiot, because actually my ex-husband is one of my best friends. Like, we're still really, really close, which is really weird. But I don't think marriage would be right for me. Like, I'm not looking to get
married
again.
Do you live together?
Yeah, we live
you
together.
You do?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't you think it's beautiful that when you go out and just like, this is my husband, this is my wife. I think that's just such...
See, it's so funny how we see things so different. Like, I appreciate where Cooper is coming from. I do. I don't think that's why everyone is so different. Everyone's such an individual where you don't have to be married. You don't need that. I could see where what you're saying is you don't need that piece of paper.
Right.
To make it something special and something awesome. Where Nicole, and that's your opinion, it's awesome. You are so cute. You're so old school.
I think it shows the utmost respect for a man. I'd say, oh, this is my girlfriend. Oh, this is my wife. I think that's such a beautiful...
You love that bond of marriage.
The bond of marriage is a beautiful...
That sanctity. No, she does. And I appreciate that as well. I think it's
I think it's going to be so funny. Yeah, but I think it's going to be so funny when we're like 70 and I'm like, this is my boyfriend.
Yeah.
I love it. You know, and 80 and 90. Like, I can't wait till he and I are like rolling around together. I don't know why people are always in wheelchairs when they're old. But for some reason, we're always putting each other in wheelchairs, even though like my grandmother's 90 and not in a wheelchair. But I think it'll be funny to be that age and be like, this is my boyfriend.
This is my boyfriend.
Let me ask you, Cooper. It's so funny because I remember when I was like single for those 11 years. And Nicole and I was saying that she feels, right, Nicole, it was an uncomfortable feeling for her when you would say go out with Bobby, right? And you did not like the title, oh, this is my girlfriend. So this is my girlfriend, Nicole. Oh, this is my boyfriend. It kind of sounds a little infantile. So I remember when I was single telling my boyfriend, you don't have to say girlfriend. You know, oh, let me introduce you to Teresa. It's just Teresa.
Right.
You don't have to give it. Like, how do you feel about that? Do you feel like when you're introduced... Like, at our age, we're in our 40s. How do you feel? Do you feel like,
does it sound a little childish when you say that?
Or do you just, like, how do you feel? Because I know Nicole, being single, it felt uncomfortable.
It's annoying, actually.
It felt annoying. We've had talks about this.
Girlfriend. I agree. Boyfriend. Like, we're not 16 anymore. Like, this is my girlfriend.
See that? Oh, you're so mature. I love that about you. But see, that's what I like. I like the fact that I have something in common with a 16-year-old who's like, this is my boyfriend. And I'm like, me too. This is my boyfriend.
I love that, Cooper. That's the best.
I like that because I like the image. For me, I guess the problem was like when I got married, it was all very serious. This is my husband. And, you know, now we have to go get a mortgage and share a bank account and take responsibility.
So
I like the fact that my boyfriend is my boyfriend because, and one time he referred to me as his wife. I didn't talk to him the rest of the night. I was like, I am not your wife. He was like, no. He says it was just easier in this context. I don't have to explain. Like, what are you explaining? That I'm your girlfriend and that we live together? What's there to explain? It's not like people have heard of girlfriend. It's not like you're saying, you know, here's my, like, you've made up some weird word, you know? People understand girlfriend. You can just say that.
I like that. It just opens up a whole new perception. Oh, I really like that because it's so, it is. There's something which anyone who knows me, I just love that youthfulness. There is. It's something very
childlike.
Youthful.
I like the childlike aspect
playful.
To it. Playful.
It is. It's playful. Yeah. And it's like, you know what? You really don't.
I don't want to get married anymore. I just want to go hang out with Justin Bieber and just get married.
I kind of have the Peter Pan complex. I swear.
No, but that's probably it. And she's mature. So the idea of like respecting a relationship, respecting a man, marriage and husband, like those words are words of respect for her.
Yes.
For me, that makes me feel claustrophobic
matronly.
And scary and matronly. Exactly. I feel like it ages me to say husband and wife. For you, it's the opposite. You see it as a form of respect for the relationship, which makes sense.
You know what? That reminds me of, you know what used to bother me? And, you know, it's funny. I'm looking at him in the next room. When we got married and went to Italy on our honeymoon, I was 21 years old. And I always loved being, till this day, signorina, signorina, signorina. Mm-hmm. I was 21 years old. And the man said, grazie, signora. It was like, oh, dear God, he called me signora. I'm like, oh, no, I'm 21. I don't even want to be called Senora now. I tell them Senorina. I like Senorina. So, Coop, obviously you and I have the Peter Pan.
Yeah, totally.
But we're good with it. It's good.
I know. I got mammed at Target. I won't go back there again.
At least there was no wham bam in front of it.
I'd rather there be a wham bam. Thank you, ma'am.
That's what
I told the guy.
Had there been a wham bam, I'd go back to Target. I'd shop there every day.
That red dot special.
The only time I want to hear ma'am is when there's wham bam, thank you ma'am in front of it.